If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Great way to listen to the show if you miss it. If you're on vacation, you know, your way to see somebody, family on a weekend, or when you listen to the show, RadioMD.com. Just click on the Owner's Manual Radio Show and then find what you want to hear. The whole show, maybe a segment, maybe a guest, a feature of you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. RadioMD.com. Udocs@gmail.com, Udocs@gmail.com. With Dr. Mike Roizen, tell us about this surgical knife that detects cancer. What's that all about?
Well, this is one that actually started at the Cleveland Clinic several years ago when they found dogs could smell the difference in someone who breathed out and had either cancer or non-cancer. And what they found was the particles in a cancer, that is, the compounds in a cancer, had a specific aroma, especially in lung cancers, and you could detect them by either the smell, or even better, they would put them through a mass spec and be able to quantify it. They then converted that to your surgical knife, which when it cuts through tissue, there's a little cloud of smoke that comes up with it as it's an electric cutting, it's cautery, and that electric smoke can be analyzed instantly, literally instantly, by a mass spec and tell whether you're cutting through cancer tissue or not by whether the compounds are there. And they've tested it with breast, lung, prostate, and one other, I think, stomach cancer, and they found, or colon rectal cancer, and they found it 100% accurate in a relatively large study in three different hospitals conducted over in Great Britain. So they now are doing it at a wider spread test. But what this does is, instead of waiting for frozen sections and seeing if the surgeon gets it all and then making sure it's correct 3 days later, you instantly get a response. So it speeds surgery. It should speed the whole process. It actually should lower the cost, because using the mass spec in an operating room should be very inexpensive compared to sending frozen sections out and getting later results. So you don't waste time in the operating room. That saves money, and the method of analysis is less expensive. So should be, I would guess, within 3 years we should be using this routinely. Should it really bear? Should it be as accurate as it is now?
Anything here that they need to maybe explore more before it becomes more readily available? Any issues here that they still haven't worked out yet?
There are no issues they haven't worked out. Mm-hmm. There are issues of transporting the machine. It's about the size of a half a size of a refrigerator. It's a mass spec, so you've got to get in. You have a little suction device. We already have suction devices all over the operating room, so it works perfectly that way. And so what they'll do is they'll do it on a much wider scale rather than on 1,000 patients. They'll have it done on 3,000 or 4,000 patients, and to make sure it still is any place near this accurate. So if it's this accurate, you won't need the frozen sections at all. You'll just eliminate them, replace them. So it's not just something you'll use both of and increase costs. You'll actually replace the one with the other, and it'll decrease costs and speed time.
And survival rates ought to go up tremendously, won't they?
Survival rates ought to go up. We don't know whether they'll go up tremendously. We think we're pretty good, even though we're slower. It may not increase survival rates, but it definitely will shorten the time in the operating room.
Well, wonderful. Is there exercise in a pill down the line anytime soon?
This came from some studies from UC San Diego and from the other research group at Scripps Medical Clinic, both in San Diego and in Jupiter, Florida, where they came out 2 years ago with this pill that in animals seemed to increase metabolic rate, decrease obesity, and give the animals more endurance. It was worried, it first came out in 2008 in the Beijing Olympics, where they worried about the athletes taking it and getting a strong advantage. So it was part of the screening for illicit drugs then. And you'd say, well, it's been 5 years. What's wrong? Why are we so slow? Well, they found side effects with that one in humans when they took it for long term. They're now doing it in a very careful way in people who can't exercise, people who are in wheelchairs, people who are injured. people who are in rehabilitation and saying, is this a faster way of getting back to work? The answer is, it's still probably 5 years away. They keep advancing the science, but nothing has shown that it doesn't have side effects or that it is magnificently effective. They're getting closer, but we're not there yet.
877-711-5211, udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. If you'd like to talk with Dr. Mike and have a question for Dr. Mike on email, we will spend a segment on the show here today answering some of your email questions and Dr. Mike's answers. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. Lots of people go to farmers markets. They're pretty popular. What do you need to know about farmers markets and bringing home food that's not contaminated?
Well, this was an interesting study because everyone always assumes, me too, that farmers markets are safer because they use, if you will, sustainable agriculture. Well, what they found in this study in Pennsylvania farmers markets, number of farmers markets in Pennsylvania, it wasn't just one, I think it was five, that they surveyed, when they brought home the chicken and they brought home chicken from supermarkets, the chicken from the farmers markets had a much higher number of bad bacteria, and much higher percentage of the chicken had bad bacteria associated with them. All it means is, remember, wherever you go shopping, whether it's at a farmer's market or your local market, make sure you wash your produce, make sure you wash your chickens and every other meat. Make sure you get rid of all, wash them carefully, and do that, if you will, and dry it off before storage. And then when you pull it out after storage, make sure you wash it again. Make sure you use different cutting boards for produce and meat, and change them in between, wash them in between, scrub them with Clorox and then warm water or with some other way of getting them, or put them in the washing machine so that you make sure you get them really clean and without the bacteria, so you don't get sick from buying food at a farmer's market.
Remember when farmers markets had live poultry? They sold live poultry. Remember those days?
They still do in China.
Do they? Oh, yeah, in China. Well, I remember here locally, when I was a kid, my grandmother would go to the farmer's market every week or every couple of weeks and bring home a live chicken. And nothing more scary for a young boy is to see a chicken running around the basement floor with his head cut off. But Joey, come on down. So she'd go right down in the laundry tub and, you know, do it. But the chicken was delicious. She made delicious chicken. But that was something. When you see that as a 5-year-old kid, it's kind of scary. You know what I mean? But I was watching, even in Vietnam, I was watching a travel show. In Vietnam, they don't do much of that anymore because the conditions in Vietnam were just awful. So the Department of Health in Vietnam came by. And apparently there you can't sell live poultry anymore because of health concerns. But they still do that in China, though, you say, right?
You know, you're making me more of a vegetarian than ever today.
But remember
to wash the vegetables carefully.
she bought one home every... Joey, do you want to come downstairs? Nah, I think I'll stay upstairs, Grandma. I'll watch Mighty Mouse on TV. udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. Never too early to think about your kids and making them as less susceptible to cancer as they possibly can be. Coming up on our guest segment right after the break at 35 past the hour, we'll be speaking to someone who has provided a lot of online nutrition and health education at universities and colleges to health professionals, folks who work in the fitness industry, and she does a lot of lecturing. And it's called SuperKidsNutrition.com or Super Kids Nutrition. What is the mission of Super Kids Nutrition and what to do to make your kids, how to make your kids stay as healthy as possible for as long as possible? That's our guest segment coming up next on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike on Radio MD. Stay well.